Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 42.
Yay!
It's the answer, isn't it?
Like yes.
This is the answer?
It is. The meaning of life, the universe, and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me as always today is...
Pat!
And we have a guest today, we have Alex!
Hi!
Hi, Kat is not with us today, she has got some prior engagements that has actually put her out of town, so we'll hear more from her soon.
Yay!
Yay, sorry Kat!
Yay, and sorry to all you listeners that are Kat fans and hate hearing Nat and I talk about things, so you probably just turn off the podcast now.
No, give Alex a chance, she's more interesting than the both of us.
The jersey number.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. 42 was the end of everything as well.
Cool.
So today we are going to discuss some new trailers that have dropped. We're going to talk some movie news because there's some big things happening in the world of geek cinema, and we will pitch a Disney animation to live action film because we always complain about what they've chosen to make.
I know.
But first we are going to start with the top of the stack. This is our segment where we go over what was the first thing we read over the course of the last 4 weeks. But yeah, you know.
Everybody needs a break.
Yeah, you know. It's the winter blues that we had. Mm-hmm. Need to take some time off. But I'm going to go ahead and start us off with the Justice League number 20. This is written by Scott Snyder and co-plotted by Jorge Jimenez, who also was the illustrator in this book. I have not been a huge fan of the Justice League book because I thought it was confusing, and I absolutely love this issue. We deal with the sixth dimension. Superman actually takes a doorway into the sixth dimension, and then when he returns, he's about 40 years older than he was before, and he takes the Justice League with him into this future, and in the future, everything is hunky-dory, and the Justice League won. And we see futuristic versions, in quotation marks, futuristic versions of each of the characters.
Well, if you're dealing with the sixth dimension, if they're going real physics and not just comic book physics, that would imply that there's two timelines that he would be able to travel basically across any points of.
In DC continuity, up until this point, there were five known dimensions, and the fifth dimension was the dimension of the imps, where Mixia Spitlick and... that might come from. So this was the unknown dimension, the sixth dimension, and yeah, there's some really interesting stuff in this. This is a tour de force for Jorge Jimenez as well, getting to show off his design sense, which if you're a fan of New 52 Earth 2 Society, he just has some really bold choices that he makes for the characters. This is crazy cosmic DC. It's this melding of Jack Kirby-isms and Grant Morrison-ness. I love this. I can't wait to see what the end game of this story is. I may not continue reading the book afterward, but as a nice little tight sixth dimension story, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Cool.
Nice.
Pat, what do you have for us?
My top of the stack this week was Wonder Twins, issue number 2. This is written by Mark Russell with art by Stephen Byrne. Byrne, I think. Let's go with that.
Byrne.
This, I was not expecting. Wonder Twins issue 1 we discussed at length in a previous reviews issue, which is awesome and
so
great.
So funny.
And hilarious, and going into the comic book world. In issue number 2, this to me seems more like Mark Russell's writing,
okay,
coming from all of his, like, the Flintstones and Snagglepuss, because this issue deals heavily, heavily, heavily with the private prison systems in America. And it does so in a comical way, tonally. It's still the same as issue 1. They have to deal with the League of Annoyance and with people such as Mantis, the Scrambler, Druncula, and...
Druncula? Nice.
Yeah, Druncula and Amphetamine. she stayed up all night working on an evil plan. And
I'm shaking my head for all of the listeners out there.
And Druncula, it's really interesting, so there's this whole thing about how they want him to just, like, bite people and in the League of Annoyance, and he's like, no, I haven't done that, you know, I used to suck the blood of drunks, but I've been 30 days sober, and, like, just biting somebody is a tip-off. And so The Wonder Twins talk about how they don't have prison on their planet because it's just a stupid idea. And then
wow. That's so
and then
bad.
So they take him, they apprehend Dracula and they take him to the prison, the regular prison, which is full, and so then they have to take him to a knockoff LexCorp holding prison, which they toured earlier in the, like at the beginning of the comic. It's like a call center, but everyone's like prisoners. And so they're just like, we apprehend people, so then they go work for Lex Luthor.
Oh.
Like, instantly. Like, what is, and so, but they take Dracula to the prison and they come and pick him up the next day and they're like, oh yeah, it should be fine. We just threw him in the drunk tank overnight. And they're like, wait, what? And so, the end, he's there with a bunch of dead bodies around him and he's like, I was 30 days sober!
Wow.
So, yeah, Mark Russell would just, and it's hilarious too. It's yeah, it's like some of the most cutting social commentary I've seen, with also a hilarious, just funny edge to it, where it's kind of like South Park in a lot of ways. Like, haha, that joke is funny. Oh wait, society is bad.
Wow. All right. Well, that's what do you have for us?
I chose Middle West number 5 because Scotty Young and George Corona are brilliant work together team. So basically, it opens with Abel having like a flashback to the past with his dad and a little bit more into the struggle about, you know, his mom leaving. And it also really does a great job of expressing how it's not actually Abel's fault, because anybody who's reading this comic knows that in like previous issues, his dad makes it out to be like he's the reason that their lives are terrible and his son is the reason that his mom left. And this opening kind of shows just how, you know, that's not true. It's really the father's personality that is making their home life so tense, and you know, he just needs someone to blame.
This sequence made me so angry.
Like, so,
and on purpose. Like, it wasn't so angry that I was like, oh, I hate reading this book. It was like, I really don't like Abel's dad.
Yeah, that was like the goal, I think. And, you know, I also didn't realize when reading the comic that the, whatever he has in his chest or like whatever's inside of him, that he contracted that from his dad.
Yeah.
I did not pick up on that until I read this issue and I was like, oh, they addressed that directly. Didn't realize that's where that was coming from.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, he gets it when his dad touches his chest.
It reveals itself when his dad touches his chest as the tornado monster?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So there's the question of, was it always there?
It's I guess it's still possible that he didn't contract it from his dad, he just thinks that he did.
Yeah.
Because that's what he states in this issue. But I was under the impression that that was just, you know, his dad was the one that kind of, like, triggered it.
Right.
And that's such an interesting, still, like, Scotty Young building on the themes of, like, anger and rage being passed down generationally, you know, nurture over nature kind of thing.
And the, do we repeat the sins of our parents?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they've done a really good job of, like, utilizing Fox as a character as well. He doesn't have a name. They still just call him Fox,
yeah.
So but he's brilliant. I really need a t-shirt that has all of Fox's, like, snarky comments on the back. Like,
yeah.
Love it. Keith and I were actually talking about that, how, like, if they made a t-shirt that had just, like, all of his snarky comments on the back, we'd totally buy it.
Yes, Fox was much more endearing in this issue than he was in the previous ones.
He was,
he was
protective and...
Yeah, you really see, because most of the time he is just snarky and has all these, like, silly things, but yeah, you actually see his super protective... paternal side, maternal, maybe? We don't really know what gender.
Yeah, Fox is kind of genderless at this point.
Their parenting styles.
And you can kind of see, like, what direction the comic is going to take now that he's, like, with the circus and has offered, like, his hands as services to help when they need it around... Or it's not a circus, it's carnival, right?
Carnival, sorry.
Carnival,
yeah.
To help around at the carnival when they need it in exchange for, you know, meals 3 times every day and to pay off the debt that he owes for trying to steal.
Yeah.
Stealing
to eat.
And this is, like, classic hero's journey, too. Like, this is... He's already taken the initial step, and this is, like, number two or three, and it where he meets his mentor.
It's really odd. I still feel like we haven't gotten the call to action yet. Like, we're still in the beginning of the story.
Well, the call to action was more just escaping his home life or anything.
I feel like we don't know what the story is, because right now he's just running.
Mm. There will be more to it. The cliffhanger at the end, though.
Yeah.
I feel like we'll definitely lead... It's arcing. The story will arc.
Oh, no, I think it's brilliant. Do not get me wrong. I think this is the best comic book on shelves right now. I mean that with no hyperbole. I really do believe that Middle West is the best thing that's out right now. And it just feels like it's still in the beginning. Like, which is weird to me, that so much has happened in the adventure, but we're still in the beginning.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I feel like this is... And it's interesting. I'm going to have to go back and look at the specific steps of the hero's journey, but, like... He's definitely, like, left the door and is already... And I can't remember if he meets the mentor, if there's a call to action first.
Right.
But this is definitely going in classic, classic style. Every great, you know, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, what have you.
Yeah.
This is falling.
I feel like we're still, like, Luke Skywalker still with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then he's about to get that moment where they leave on the actual journey, you know, like, they actually begin the story.
Honestly, I'm not... really understanding either why his dad is looking for him. Because to all given appearances, it seems like his dad really couldn't give less of a care
about him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, he's going through a lot of trouble. Because Abel has been gone for a while now.
Seems
like he's a pretty far distance from home. So I just don't understand, like, maybe that shows an aspect of, like, the father does care about his son. He just is so messed up in the brain that he doesn't know how to care properly.
It's really interesting. Like, I hadn't thought about that, but now that you say that, maybe there's a different motivation there that they haven't, like, shown yet.
My assumption on this topic was because that was my first thing when when the dad starts going after him in issue, like, two or three or something, was why, and I assume... And my assumption is because he wants to use Abel or harness him in some sort of way to get his power or soul or
whatever it
what
is.
Have you, something so like
steal
that.
Steal whatever, now that he sees that Abel has the energy to steal
I
it.
I just realized this artwork is divided in half and his is not.
Mm-hmm. His heart's not broken yet.
Yep.
It's breaking.
Yep, it's almost there, but it's still together.
Yep. All right, well, we did more of a long-form review of that one.
Sorry.
I think that's, I mean, that's just, it's a really good book. It's what Beg's talking about.
You can't really bring it up without that. Anywho.
Yeah, so we're going to go into some trailer discussions now. We'll start with Toy Story 4 finally had their, like, true, full, long, two-minute trailer. I have no qualms with the trailer. I feel like the trailer was completely competently put together. The animation looks new and shiny. What?
Except for the fact that they revealed the entire plot.
Okay, that's fair. I still don't know what it is about this that I just don't care about.
Maybe the fact that it's the fourth in a franchise and that just generally has low... Movies as they go in franchises have lower and lower expectations. Typically... but maybe that's it. I don't know.
I can't put my finger on it. It just doesn't feel right to me. And you what were you saying? That you feel like the whole plot was revealed?
Yeah, I mean, they basically, you saw the whole movie in a 2-minute sequence. That was, like, that's all there's gonna be to it. You're not gonna get a whole lot of deeper in seeing a fourth movie. I feel like they should have just ended it after number two, but...
I think 3 was a perfect bookend. Like, 3 felt very ending to me. They moved, they passed the torch onto, and I feel bad now, I forgot the character's name, but the little girl. And, you know, it was like,
Bonnie.
It was Bonnie. Okay, so they passed it over to her. It was the life of the toy, as that was a nice cap. Excuse me. This one, yeah, like, I almost feel like the plot synopsis is, okay, so Bonnie makes Forky in class. Forky feels like he doesn't belong with the other toys, that he should be used to eat soup with and all those other things. Forky then leaves. They follow
Woody
him.
Woody does his classic thing.
Yeah, Woody, being the leader and the hero, does the classic thing and goes. We find an evil Bo Peep where they go, and the evil Bo Peep tries to derail the situation. I think it's a different Bo Peep. I actually don't think it's the one we're used to seeing.
Oh.
It's, yeah. It's a different toy, but is aware of the things that have happened.
Yeah.
So they do that. They save Forky. Forky realizes that he should be the toy, then stay mm-hmm. with the family because
he sees Woody's determination. And
yeah, he goes,
team
okay.
Working
and I should be there for Bonnie. And then Woody decides at the end of the movie that he should stay here, that his time with Bonnie has ended and Bonnie has moved on to other toys.
So an interesting aspect of it, though, is that Forky just kind of comes to life after he's created. So does that mean, like, the child is what's giving the toys their quote-unquote spirit to, like, live when she's not around?
Or maybe
I don't
because
know.
If you, like, took Forky apart, would
okay.
he be alive anymore,
if we go into the weird, like, the theories of how the toys work within Toy Story.
The physics of the Toy
yeah,
Story
the, Toy Story 2 dealt a lot with being in the toy store, and all of those toys came to life, the ones that were in the store already that were packaged, so I
oh,
did,
yeah.
that wouldn't necessarily mean that they have to have a kid present.
So does that mean anything that is considered a toy even is automatically alive if it's made or...
Is that what I'm saying? Because not all sporks are, like, alive when somebody's not in the room.
Maybe they broke their own logic. Like, that was the, that, maybe that's the problem with the movie is we're watching it going, why, or watching the trailer going, I don't understand how, like, I don't understand the toy physics and life inside of the breathing of the toys and how a fork can, or a spork can do this. Like,
and that really brings up questions about, like, my pet rock I had. In, like, middle school.
Oh,
know?
Man, I really shouldn't have taken a hammer to that.
Does that make Rocky?
Oh, God.
I'm Sid!
That's so dark.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, is anyone excited for this of the three of us here? Like, do you guys want to see Toy Story 4? Not will you see it, but do you want to?
I will, just because Brad Bird is directing it. And
whoa, where did you... Hold on.
Isn't he?
No, I did not know that.
I thought he was involved with it somehow. If he... I might be wrong. I might have just been hopeful.
I'll be honest, I have
still
no idea
involved.
Who Brad Bird is.
He's the director of the
Incredibles.
OGs. Yeah, the OGs.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not. He's the director of The Incredibles and The Incredibles 2.
Who am I thinking of then?
John Lasseter directed the first two, and John Lasseter is no longer with Pixar for other reasons.
Oh, gosh, I am getting my Pixar directorial staff mixed up here.
Josh Cooley is the director.
Okay,
I've definitely heard that name.
Yes, okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pixar, not all directors are the same.
I was like, it's like, okay, if Brad Bird is on the movie, then now I'm excited.
I for some reason, maybe my brain just, like, inserted his name into the trailer on itself. It's like, starring Bill Murray. I'm like, oh, yay, Brad Bird.
Yeah, there we go.
That's basically the same. I don't know. Yeah. Anywho. Sorry for that fake news audience.
That I almost got excited about Toy Story 4.
Oh,
almost got excited.
Yeah, now I'm definitely less excited because that was the only thing. And I think my mind needed something to be excited about.
All right, well, let's move on to something I'm personally excited about. And that was the Stranger Things Season 3 full trailer. Oh, my God. So much tone setting and, like, bringing us back to the 1985, I think, is the setting for this one.
Yeah, because last one was 84.
And the rise of the shopping mall, and, like, that being the central hub of the story.
I don't mind the extra time they needed to piece this season together. It looks like they are going to do a great
once again,
job.
I don't think they needed extra time. I think they wanted to release it on the date of the story. The story takes place on July 4th weekend, and they released it July 4th weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did in the past. They released it on
Halloween. Because it was a Halloween story. So
they did the first two, right, were
both on Halloween.
I can't remember the time frame of the first one. I think the first one was just the beginning of school.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It was
kind of
the same
time.
Fall. Yeah, time frame.
Okay. Yeah, but that's funny because they know everyone's going to binge watch it right then.
It's going to be, you're like, what did you do? I watched Fireworks for about 5 minutes, and then I watched 5 episodes of Stranger Things.
Yeah. Just set off the fireworks in your house while you're watching Stranger Things. Don't do this at home.
Yeah, audience, do not do this, but...
You know, I obviously it's Stranger Things, so yeah. I was just taken with it. My one qualm with it, and I hope that we get more of this, but we didn't see much of the Upside Down in the trailer. And we did not, and we saw a shocking lack of...
It moves so fast. It shows, like, brief moments that almost seem like they're hinting at it.
There's a couple, like one or two, but then also there is a definitive lack of the Shadow King. What
makes one major appearance to Eleven on the beach. The smoke monster.
Yeah. Is it there in the background when she's standing on the
beach? When she's on the beach, the lightning strikes and she's looking at it in the distance.
I totally missed that then.
What I got from the trailer was that the dimensional barrier is breaking.
Yes.
And that's why we don't get a lot of the Upside Down, is because the Upside Down is coming here.
So there is...
It's turning right side up.
Kind of found a hint to this. So there is an episode in the season that's going to be titled The Case of the Missing Lifeguard. And you see, like, a brief scene where the female lifeguard is, like, stuck in, like, a black area. Looks like she's, like, drowning in black water. And I'm like, that's totally going to be feeding into the plot of that episode.
Oh, I'm really mad that the Red Ranger, I can't think of the actor's name, but he was the dick older brother in season 2.
Yeah.
I'm mad that he's back.
I hate that guy. I like how they're bringing Max into the fold.
Yes. Yeah, Max's older brother.
Yeah, Max's older brother, yeah. Those are two great characters.
Yeah.
It looks like their friend group is getting more, like, dynamic, too, because Eleven originally didn't like having the Max around. Like, she didn't like that fact, and now it looks like, you know, they're both girls, and they're all becoming teenagers, so it's going to be nice to have, like, a girl that's a friend that knows what she's doing.
It felt really interesting, thematically. You feel like Will and, oh, my God, why can't I remember character names?
Because Will baseball cap. And, Dustin?
Dustin. It feels like Will and Dustin are being left behind. It's like everybody else is growing up. I mean, Mike even makes the point, it's like, we're teenagers now. We, you know, you want us to just spend all the time in the basement.
Yeah.
And the movie, or the trailer opens on them playing a prank on Dustin for his birthday surprise. And it's just like, it almost feels like Dustin wants to move forward. And that, especially at the end of season 2, it felt like he was trying to. But I feel like Dustin and Will are going to be sort of left behind. Like, they're still the young ones.
Well, he seems like he just came back from a summer camp of some sort, too. Because he's, like, wearing the hat. And then he's like, at least you're the only one that likes that I'm back.
Right.
That's so weird, because I always thought of Dustin as more of the... Like, he is the, like, probably the most quote-unquote childish out of all.
Right.
Like, as in the fact that he enjoys playing these games and doing these things, but... I would actually argue that he's one of the most mature and clear and level-headed of all the characters. I think Will...
He's dealt with a lot on his
own. He's kind of made to be that.
Right, and I think that's...
But he doesn't show it as much as Dustin does, I guess, like, from an actual character arc perspective.
Well, and thematically, Will, unfortunately, has been left out of the action for the first two seasons. Like, that's the character.
So out of the action?
I mean, really, he has.
Oh, my God.
Well...
He's almost died, like, 3 times.
But he's never there. He's always in the Upside Down or pulled
away. He's not
away.
Part of, like, the story arc.
Right. And I think that the way you
he's
do
in a
that,
different action.
He's right. being utilized in a different way.
And how do you separate him from the group without pulling him into the Upside Down again? Is you'd literally make him be left behind.
Yeah.
Like he's not maturing. You're allowed to sneeze on camera on the video.
Oh, good. Okay.
it's okay.
I thought you were just having a conniption fit about Will.
Yeah. Oh no, I was trying not to sneeze because I wasn't sure if that would affect the audience. Sorry, guys. I still knew this.
It's okay. We're all learning. We're
still real people.
Yep. Well, I just learned something new about Stranger Things trailers. So
that was so good.
I kind of hope that they explore more into Dustin and Steve's relationship. Like, Steve is an older brother.
Yeah. They do kind of, like, hint at that. Like, the new girl who works with Steve in the mall is like, how many children are you friends with?
I didn't get the mall thing, which I am interested in now. The fact that you said that because, mall culture is definitely comes up in the 80s.
Yep.
And then...
I think that's, like, the major destination that they show that all of the characters going towards.
Yeah, I was saying that a mall makes a great setting for this sort of finale type...
Yeah.
Plan, battle, what
where the creatures are running through the mall, and it's like a quote to the Night of the Living Dead movies, or Dawn of the Dead, excuse me.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can get into all those great, you know, capitalism, consumerism tropes.
Well, and clearly Steve is working in the mall, so that's, you know, that's a nice thing to drag them there, like a reason also to be there to talk to Steve, their mentor character that can be there. Eleven in the trailer, too. Like, Eleven has grown, and Eleven seems to be more vocal and actually,
like she's part of a society. Like, she's getting more into the hang of what a normal life is like.
Yeah.
She speaks multiple sentences at a time.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping, though, that they don't leave behind the idea of other numbers, too. Like, because that was something that was an interesting promise of the previous season, was that maybe we'll see something else with the experimentation.
I can't recall what happened to the other person that she met that was like her.
Number eight?
I think so.
Is it eight or? Yeah.
Probably eight.
I was thinking seven, but something like that.
7-Eleven? Really?
I think they just drop it, if I remember correctly. Like, they don't...
Something happened. Like, they got into a fight and...
And 11 leaves, and I think that might be it. Like, they didn't... They left it open as to where she went.
Yeah, because they didn't have... Because they had the tag of her in the first episode of the season. That was, like... That was the cold open.
Yeah.
And then they had her in the 11 episode.
Yep.
But I don't think that she's...
I don't think she's gone.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, she, because 11 just leaves, and do they? They don't have a tag with her.
So they just kind of left it open ended.
Yeah,
I think so. If I remember.
Well, and it just begs the question of, like, what about 10? You know, like, what was the generation right before 11? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, and that's if there's 11 and it's in continuity that we have other numbers, then we ostensibly have 9 other people with abilities that we haven't seen yet.
And
so.
The other one establishes that the abilities are not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
That's so. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, we are going long.
Just on Stranger Things.
Yeah, so we have the big trailer of the week, ironically enough, was Avengers Endgame, ostensibly the final trailer, I guess. We're only a month away from the movie, so... Yeah. Probably not a reason to do another trailer after this.
Yeah.
The entire world.
We're doing movie showings with that, aren't we?
We are. Griffin Games and Comics will be doing a showing with the AMC AMC Classics for Avengers
Endgame.
We got Marvel movies back. As well as a Shazam one, which is coming very soon.
Shazam.
So,
like 2 weeks from now, right?
April 4th will be the showing. Because April 5th is my birthday. Anyway, nice. Avengers Endgame trailer hinting at multiple timelines or multiple dimensions, and the Russo brothers have confirmed that there's misdirection in the trailer, whether that means characters are present that aren't present, like the Hulk in the Infinity War trailers, or if they're deliberately changing the looks of characters so we can't place where they are in the timeline.
I think that's funny that we're probably going to speculate about this trailer now, even though you've basically said all speculation is worthless.
Yeah, it's all BS, right? So,
yeah, I mean, they did that with Thor. They did that with the last Avenger, Infinity Wars.
Oh yeah, because Thor's eyes were a big moment of contention.
Yep, they CG'd his eye back, or not? Maybe CG'd, or maybe they just.
I would assume CG because they probably just had the original footage that they went with and then just went back and forth with it.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that stuff in post, but whatever. They might have just shot the scene twice.
The number of stones on Thanos' gauntlets was completely different from what they were in the movie, so they had them added in the trailer for Infinity War.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that you couldn't place it, so you didn't know what sequence he got the stones in.
Ugh.
So.
Nah.
Russo's.
It's so smart. I think it's smart for them because they recognize that we're in this age of speculation and age of media, so let's screw with everybody. There's still rumors that Endgame's not the official title of the movie. That the toy packaging supposedly just says Avengers.
No,
like, it doesn't actually have a subname.
No, it's toy
they can't,
Endgame.
They can't do that because...
They can't undo it.
The Avengers was the Avengers.
Right.
So legally, they wouldn't be able to call
But they are
the
class
Avengers.
Of toys called Avengers.
But no, I'm saying, like, from a movie name perspective,
it's
going to
be
like,
called Endgame.
That's a licensing thing, is they're going to have number 2 or some sort of tag.
Legally, yes, but what if the name is an Endgame and it really does have something to do with the being a spoiler for what the movie itself is?
Yeah. And maybe, yeah, maybe they call it the
Avengers. Well, that's probably why they would have chosen Endgame, because Endgame is so obscure. There's, like, no reveal there.
Endgame was mentioned in 3 different films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, of course you would know that.
Well, they do mention it. I know that they mention it in Infinity Wars.
Yeah, they mention it in Age of Ultron. Tony Stark goes, what's our Endgame here?
Yeah.
So what is the end game for the Avengers? Why do the Avengers exist?
Well, they kind of hinted that in Captain Marvel too, because at the end with Fury.
Yeah. And then that was her. That was a good reveal too. That her ship's or her call sign was Avenger.
Yes, that was dope. Yeah. That was a subtle reveal. Yeah. We're getting away from the trailer.
Or we could get back into it with obviously Captain Marvel there.
Yes, at the end. That was my favorite part of the trailer. I was just glad to see her interacting with the Avengers. I'm hoping we get to see some interactions between her and Tony. That's like my big thing.
There's so many AUs that I feel like Marvel needs to hit. That's kind of what happened with the first one. The first one, it felt like they were just trying to hit too many different, like, needed interactions between all of the characters in the MCU.
But they deliberately left those interactions out. Like, we never saw Tony and Cap together. And, like, that's such a huge thing to, like, not have happen.
I still need Star-Lord to have, like, a conversation about music with, like, Tony or even better, Cap.
No.
That would be hilarious.
That's a missed opportunity. You know who should have a conversation with Star-Lord about music?
Who?
Doctor Strange. What? He has a photographic memory for, especially for music. It's part of when he's doing surgeries.
Oh, yeah.
He does the guessing game for who, when the movie was, the music was released.
Yeah.
This should be like a whole dinner table conversation between the Avengers.
That would be awesome. They're quizzing each other on like 70s music.
Chris
Pratt's back and forth.
Like, this is the best song of the 70s. And Doctor Strange was like, well, actually, that's 1980 was the
right.
He's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's definitely 70s because 70s music is the best.
And in one dimension, it did come out in the
1980s. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I mean, I hope that we still get those moments of interaction.
Yeah.
With all of them, especially Brie Larson and all the other people.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is like seeing her character with so many of these other.
Because all the other characters are super familiar with each other. Mm-hmm. We've seen them in other movies. She's the only new addition, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's a new addition to the core five, which is like, I think a really, like, that's a really interesting idea, is we're almost just plotting one person, like plopping them right into this situation.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's definitely, I'm looking forward to all that stuff. I don't know. We're getting into some crazy tinfoil hat theories here, which I don't know if we want to get into.
I don't think we have the time to get into them, to be honest, because we got some news we really should talk about.
Yeah,
some that tie directly to Avengers Endgame and the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Cool. So, well, yeah, I guess we'll just leave this one.
Yeah. The Endgame trailer was great. Okay, everybody. they gave us enough to just be talking about it again, because we're all going to see this fucking movie. You know, like, there's no, like, yeah. The movie's going to make $1 billion the first weekend. It's going to break every box office record we've had thus far. People have the general public needs to know what happens at the end of this now. The nerds, we need all of our, like, we need all the character interactions.
Don't need sleep, I need answers.
Exactly. Like, there is no way this movie does not break $200 million in its opening weekend. Zero chance that this movie does not hit that number. It's a 3-hour film, and it's going to break $200 million.
That's a very conservative.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to. If I were to, let's. You guys want to do crazy box office predictions? We know that Captain Marvel made $165 million, which was a shit ton of money.
Yep. For a solo debut superhero
in March.
Yep.
I would get, if I were to wager, we're looking at $280 million in its opening weekend.
I think 280. I would put it above 3.
That's a huge prediction.
I would say, I was gonna say 320 was.
Alright, I'm writing these in my notes. 320 for Pat. 310 for Alex. And I'm going 280, the conservative estimate. Oh. I don't know that I was ever been the conservative one in any situation.
If we're going to go, if we're doing like Price is Right style, then you made the best.
I'm literally closest number, I think. Most interesting.
Fair enough. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one to see here in a month. Which one, we're going to wager anything on this? The person who loses the most has to come on the podcast and say that they hated all the Avengers movies.
I was thinking more food, man. Loser supplies tacos for the recording session.
We'll figure it out. Fans, comment in the comment section what the loser should do.
All right. So part of my weird speculation for Endgame is I think we are heading into a split for the Marvel Universe where there's going to be a lot of movies tied to being small and here on Earth, and then movies that are going to go completely batshit cosmic. And the spearhead for those cosmic movies in the past had been James Gunn, who was fired from Marvel and is now rehired and the director for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
He was in Time Out.
Oh, he did a lot of things in Time Out.
In Time Out, he also got chosen to be the director of The Suicide Squad, the pseudo-sequel / reboot for DC films.
Was that just like a revenge stab back at Marvel?
I don't know what happens with... They're waiting to record Guardians 3 until after the filming of Suicide Squad.
That was not a backstab at Marvel. That was DC snatching. Was DC jumping on that opportunity. Because Suicide Squad 1 is essentially supposed to be their Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And so the fact that the Guardians of the Galaxy director is now available for the movie that they wanted to do, they're like, boo, baby.
So
we don't care about a stupid joke he tweeted 15 years ago. We want to make $1 billion.
I have to say, I'm really excited that Gunn's... One, I'm excited for Suicide Squad. I think that's a discussion to be tabled for another time, because maybe we'll hear an announcement that that's not happening, which would be sad.
They're definitely doing Birds of Prey. They released a...
Yes, Birds of Prey is filming right now. So, oh really? I missed that.
It's more like a teaser.
One that has like the behind the scenes like
kind
stuff?
Of music, yeah. And you see like some of the characters that you now know are going to be a part of the movie. Right.
As much as I hate seeing the one token black character and things just being replaced by a different token black actor, Idris Elba is still great. And I'm
to
see him.
That's a coup.
Be Will Smith.
Yeah, that's really like, that's major casting. Back to Guardians 3 and the James Gunn situation. So bigger than the cinema is maybe we're moving into a big discussion about people growing as human beings and being able to not necessarily forgive, but move past events in people's past. You know, this is now changing the precedent that maybe we can look at something and go, James Gunn never hurt anyone. He made some really stupid comments and they were part of his past, and we've seen this person grow. So let's move beyond that and say, okay, your life is anew. What do we do now?
I feel like that's the plot of like half of superhero movies anyway, is that, you know, you become better than you were before, and you know, you fight against your past mistakes, and
especially Guardians. Guardians is like, we're a bunch of assholes, you know, like that's in reading past that.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel about James Gunn coming back, Alex?
To be honest, I didn't really even know James Gunn by name until like this year. I also don't really know. I don't pay attention to directors of movies. So to me, I can't tell what difference it makes. But it would be interesting to see what happens if they did a movie without James Gunn directing it. I just don't think that they're going to want to take that risk.
Yeah. I also think it's an interesting point. Like, it would be interesting to see what Guardians looks like without James Gunn. And we've only got a piece of that with seeing what the Russos did with the Guardians characters in Infinity War. I think there's a bigger discussion here, and there was more to the reasons he came back. I really do think Marvel needs that cosmic spearhead, and I think he laid the groundwork for some future storytelling, and having him back gives Feige access to that push, and like, what were his thoughts on where the cosmic story was going? And so I think that's important for Disney as a company. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion to be had here. I'm excited to see him back. I'm excited for what this means that we can learn to move past people's pasts and learn from it and learn to be good humans. So.
Well, with, and that's, is a good transition into another bit of news, because if we're going to have Disney splitting Marvel up into two different directions, now they have, a lot of new fodder to do that with.
Yeah! So, Disney has officially, acquired Fox. And they are calling this a merger. It is a takeover of a company. I think Disney will own something to the percentage of 80% of Fox, in its current form. And Fox has come up with a new company name. I forgot what it's called, and I apologize. It's Fox, like, Fox Studios International or something. Disney? Like, it's got a weird... No. This is, like, what Fox... The portion of Fox that still exists... Has a new name.
Yeah.
So. I love Disney. Like, it's near and dear to my heart, but my God. They need to stop monopolizing everything.
I know.
This was a move, I think, for Iger to have his legacy be the stamp of what Disney Plus will be.
I think this is Disney trying to be the corporate rulers of the whole universe, but we can get into that later. I'm just kidding, honestly. My first reaction to this was, how is this not stopped by the FCC? And I guess they, like you were saying, there was like one or two specific Fox subsidies that were in debate.
Right.
I guess Disney didn't acquire just enough to not be a monopoly.
Right. I think there was a question on some level. Since there are so many new streaming opportunities, we have things like Netflix, which officially passed the mark where more of their content is original as opposed to acquired content. We have Amazon streaming. And streaming is the way of the future. I'm sorry, but the normal like broadcast networks will go away. I 5 years maybe.
Either that or they'll be just merged into the different streaming services as production houses.
Yeah, and that's probably the way it will really turn. So I think because those larger entities exist, and even though Disney Plus and Hulu will be a huge share in this, it's hard to catch up to Netflix where Netflix is. So that levels out. The film industry is a little, that's more gray. That is a bit more gray area in terms of how much, but it was ESPN and then the Fox Sports stuff that would have been a major problem, as ESPN is basically your lead in sports news, and Fox Sports would have been number two, and Fox Sports was now not acquired by Disney as part of this merge. Mm. So, as well as Fox News, which we joked that Disney didn't really want. But, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, we shall see what happens with this.
Bring on the Fantastic Four. I know everybody's calling for X-Men. I need to see the Fantastic Four done through Disney. But I also kind of want it to be done, like, into the Spider-Verse. But that's a different discussion.
Are they
going to
be keeping the actors they did from the most recent, like, redo of Fantastic Four?
No. My estimation would be they'd start from the ground up.
They're going to redo Fantastic Four?
Yeah, and I think Fantastic Four is going to be introduced through the Quantum Realm. I have another crazy tinfoil hat theory about that one. But that's okay. I think the Fantastic Four have been around the entire time during this MCU timeline, but they've been trapped in basically another dimension, and so they're going to come back as people from the 70s, but in our time, kind of do a Captain America type thing. And so, but their science was so far ahead of where we are now that it doesn't matter, that Reed Richards can just hop right in and still be one of the smartest people in the universe.
Yeah, they scienced so hard.
They scienced so hard!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they got lost with those cosmic rays.
Yeah. What happened? Okay. My tinfoil hat is constricting my brain.
But you can just tear it a little bit. It relieves the pressure.
If you tear it a little bit, they can get in.
All right.
What else do we have? What's next?
So in other cinema news, Kevin Sugihara has stepped down amongst a sexual misconduct scandal from Warner Media, as Warner Media now searches for a new studio chief. Man, Warner Brothers, you get some ground in terms of like the cinema that you've done with the DC stuff. You have a new head in charge. They have a successful film. All signs are pointing to a successful Shazam. And once again, you're going to lose a studio head.
Oh, no.
There's a lot to this story. The Kevin Sugihara basically had an affair with, and multiple times, with an actress, and part of the discussion was because they were having an affair, he got her put into a number of films.
Yeah.
But there was no, supposedly there's no solicitation. There wasn't like he was using his power.
Why is this so common in Hollywood?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
This is why like the paradigm needs to change. Like that's the thing. And he stepped down because I'm sure he would be removed before too long anyway. But yeah, so once again, looking for a new studio head for Warner Media. So
this is why we need more female executives because. Yeah.
I think it's time that Patty Jenkins take over the DC films. And I've said this before, but I think that's it. We're well past that moment.
That would be great, but knowing Patty Jenkins, you would only get one movie every 2 years.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Right?
It would be the most amazing thing ever.
I liked what James Wan did with Aquaman. It's a very different film, but.
I still haven't seen Aquaman.
It's coming out on Blu-ray, I think Tuesday.
I was trying to see if I could get it to watch to rent on Amazon Prime, but
not available yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not available anywhere yet, so.
So we're running a little long. Do we want to just do some quick hit news here?
Yeah,
It looks like the Flash movie has had some serious problems. So it's currently the script and the directors, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, from Game Night, as well as some other television projects. Apparently, Ezra Miller is unhappy with that script and the direction of the movie, and is kind of threatening walking out of the project and removing himself as Flash, but they've given him the opportunity to write a script, and he is writing a script with Grant Morrison, who is my favorite comic book writer of all time, which bodes really well. But there are a lot of talks that if this script is rejected by the studio, that's it. Ezra's out. And we're going to be looking at a new Flash being cast anyway. He doesn't make a good Barry Allen. I actually really enjoy him in Justice League, but.
No, he doesn't really fit the personality for me.
I don't know why they didn't do Wally West. I still say that to this day. It's like, why don't we introduce Wally West into this universe and make him the Flash?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this and then draw our conclusions from there.
Yeah.
Because he said he has a different idea about the character of Flash, which I guess you guys don't like. I didn't mind, but...
Well, he's saying he wants to go darker, right?
Yeah.
And Flash has always been the representation of levity within the Justice League.
Yeah.
So that's...
Ooh.
So Flash apparently ran through the studio just now and tried to break some stuff on his way out. That's the darker Flash we wanted.
Yeah. I mean, Aquaman took that place in Justice League of the levity.
He did.
So
Justice League is a weird movie to discuss.
Let's not get into, because that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip out on one piece of news, and I'm gonna beg the question of is the CW universe ending? We know that Arrow has been officially canceled after this coming season.
Yeah,
there's a new showrunner on Flash.
Yeah,
Flash, I can see them trying to milk it though and start new shows. Based on that idea, they just don't cross over into the old shows because they're ending.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Supergirl and Black Lightning are their best shows, and they were their most recently started.
Yeah.
I mean, Arrow and Flash were good at the beginning, but...
But then they lost the...
I stopped watching Flash after, like, the third season, because it's just gotten so ridiculous.
Yeah, so Eric Wallace is supposed to take over as the new showrunner, and you have Todd... What is that? My writing is terrible. I'm not going to try that last name right now. But so stepping down, so this will be the third showrunner in 5 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the DC universe is doing very well for DC, so there's almost no reason to continue having this content on the normal networks.
They're starting their own universe in the DC universe, so...
I think anything that lasts will be their own things. Like, Black Lightning kind of exists on its own. And I think that's also the strategy for their film division, is to just basically have singular stories. And if they cross over, they do, but that's not the goal. The goal is to make really good content. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the goal going forward with their television properties. Besides the stuff that they're doing on DC Universe streaming, which is definitely pushing boundaries of what's been done on TV for comic book properties.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think we should talk about our movies that we want made. So we've complained a bit about the different Disney films that were animations that are being turned into live action, and why are they doing this? So we decided to take a more positive take on this and say, what would we want made as a live action film from the Disney? So Pat, you came up with this idea. What is your choice?
You know, I actually came up with this question from a very specific thought I had.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about Disney live action, especially with the upcoming Aladdin, which I'm still throwing up a little in my mouth over. just a little. But I thought what would be a great movie to bring back, and I was talking to my coworkers about children's movies, as 20-somethings typically do. And it struck me that I would absolutely love to see a live action Fantasia movie come to life and directed, hopefully co-directed by Tim Burton and Wes Anderson, and with somebody like, who did I have here? Somebody like John Williams or Hans Zimmer to be a consulting executive, and hopefully Philip Glass too, another modern composer.
How would they do that with Mickey?
Leave it to Tim Burton and Wes Anderson to figure it out, because I feel like they both have that live action je ne sais quoi. Tim Burton would go a little too dark and Wes Anderson would go a little too light. So I feel like if they had them working together on it, you would hit that perfect middle ground.
I can't even see this movie in my head. Like I have no idea. Not only do I can't see this movie, but you chose those two directors in my mind, this movie would never get made.
I feel like you could definitely choose one or the other to do it.
Right.
I would like to see them both work
together. Tim Burton would definitely add some cool aspects to it, and the
Wes Anderson
would definitely like keep it to where like kids can see it and not get scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I almost want it to be scary though. Like Fantasia is pretty scary.
Yeah.
So
we all know that if Tim Burton is directing though, Johnny Depp's gonna be involved, and so is Helena, whatever her last name is.
Helena Bonham Carter. But yeah, so I thought that would be, but I think it would be really cool if they were able to get somebody like Hans Zimmer or John Williams to be like an executive producer too.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of want to see that movie. I don't know what that movie looks like, but I want to see it.
I know, I have no idea either, but that just sounds amazing.
Alright, I'm going to do Atlantis, The Lost Empire.
Woo!
I think that is one of my favorite Disney animated films, but it would be one that I think would translate really well into a sci-fi adventure with fantasy elements. For the directors, I'm also choosing a directorial team, but I'm choosing the team of Lord and Miller from the Lego movies, and originally the director of Solo, A Star Wars Story. And this is because I want to see what their Star Wars would have been. Solo was pretty much a failure, so seeing what that movie would have actually been under their full spearhead. I also think they can adapt the Jack Kirby-style comic books, and that movie would lend itself really well to the Jack Kirby-style effects. I think they can keep the levity that would be present in the story while also taking it very seriously. My casting would be Ty Sheridan as Milo Thatch. I absolutely love his performance in Ready Player One, and I think he can play that 20-something nerd that is, you know, trying to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two casting choices for Kida. I have Gideon Adlon from Blockers or Camila Mendez from Riverdale. Plus, I would also put The Rock as the King of Atlantis, because we don't have the great...
Kida's a Disney princess.
She should
be.
And I definitely think this would be a multicultural cast. It would be like the Dirty Dozen, and we'd be able to use people from all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be a really fun movie to see on screen.
That would be awesome. And at one point, you have to have like Michael J. Fox do a cameo.
Yes. He could be the...
like the professor in the beginning.
Yeah, he could be the one that Milo goes to, the one who funds the whole thing, mm-hmm. and just have big, put him in a big white beard. And, like,
yeah, exactly.
So that would just be really, really like, that would just be super fun. I think
that would make it such good, because Atlantis is essentially like steampunk Star Wars.
Yep. Also, I think you bring Mike Mignola back to do design work again to figure out how to translate the design work into the live action.
Yeah. All right, Disney, you're hearing Nat's pitch.
All right, Alex, take us home.
Okay. So most of the ones that I could think of have already been live action, but I came up with Tarzan because they did one that was 2 years ago, and it wasn't Disney. I can't recall what company did it. It was really good, but it wasn't like the actual storyline of Tarzan. And I think it was actually titled The Legend of Tarzan.
Yeah.
But I think that it would be a really cool movie for Disney to try and attempt at. I don't have any director names or actor names in mind for Tarzan or Jane. I do think, though, that they would definitely try to place, like, a well-known actress as Jane, and I wish they would try to stay away from that.
Yeah.
And pick new actors to play both Tarzan and Jane to give, like, an opportunity for, oh, well, then we're not going to have expectations for these actors or actresses in this role.
I want to see what they would do with the live-action, like, sliding through the jungle stuff. Like,
yeah.
That would be really
It would be so cool. And the accuracy of the primates. So I actually have... Yeah.
So this is Andy Serkis directing the movie.
I'm... super pumped about this. I actually have a professor that consulted with the cartoon version of Tarzan.
Okay.
Because she's a primatology professor. Yeah. And apparently the way that the primates are made in the cartoon are extremely accurate.